there is here is the paragraph. From the Sangama Sutra, which you can find it in the book, page 59. The book is Continuous Practice in the Monastery, written by Tsugen Narasaki Roshi, translated by Tomoe. So this is a translation. I think this book will be published by AH Monastery pretty soon. At the page 59, you will see the paragraph of Sangama Sutra talking about Vajrapada's enlightenment, when he and the 16 bodhisattvas attained enlightenment. When they went in to bathe. So let me read. And also Kedan Zenji's poems here, and Daichi Zenji's poems here, concerning with same issue. So Vajrapada and his 16 bodhisattva companions rose from their seats and prostrated themselves at Buddha's feet and said to him, "Being deeply impressed by the teaching of the King of Majestic Voice, Buddha, the King of a Majestic Voice, Buddha means not real, the existing, the being. It is a symbol of emptiness, which is working constantly as a Dharma, supporting all sentient beings. So that is a voice, okay, majestic voice, the supporting, helping, and the sustaining all sentient beings. That's why it is Buddha. So the King of Majestic Voice Buddha, we became home departure monks when it was time for monks to wash. We filed in to bathe. Suddenly we awakened to the basis of water. We did not wash off the dirt, and we did not wash our bodies. Then at peace within, we realized nothing to be attained, which we can never forget. Since we became home departure monks under the Buddha and attained the stage of no learning, the Buddha praised me and said, Vajrapada has revealed illumination of the subtle feeling and has achieved the station of the Son of the Buddha. Our attainment of the basis of feeling comes first over the perfect and all-pervading, as mentioned by the Buddha." So Kedan Zenji also said, "A bath room in the Shaolin Monastery who is it to clarify the basis of water? Once going into the sea of fragrant water, it plunges you into cleansing. Like water doesn't wash off water, no dirt remains on the body. Where being undefiled, purification in bathing reveals itself ingenuously. The pure assembly having a bath, their rules must accord with the law. Carrying a bath towel in a case, they must behave themselves in quiescence. No talk inside the bath. The changing room must be closed. A low voice in the resting room. Do not expose a naked body inside. Before striking a drum, laymen are not allowed to bathe. After striking the drum, it's not time for monks to bathe. Those chattering in the bath must be reproached. At this monastery, everlastingly do not break this rule. And also Daichi Zenji said here, the way of bath in the Soto tradition does not permit us to use water carelessly. Be mindful of Ehei's teaching. Returning half the water left in the ladle to the river. If even one drop of water is handled recklessly, then each time the waves of its virtue end and nothing remains. I think in Dogen Denji mentioned the teaching of washing face, emphasizing to return the half the water left in the ladle to the river. When you scoop the water with a pail and pour the water into your basin, you should return half the water left in the ladle to the river. To the river means for all sentient beings or the human beings for next generation. This is compassion. Also, this is real compassion expressed toward water and toward all sentient beings. At that time, I think that practice really deepened the self, his life, and simultaneously helping all sentient beings for next generations. It's not merely for himself, not merely for the sake of developing his own life or deepening on his life. First of all, anyway, he has to practice for all sentient beings first, next generation after generations, looking at the world for long run. That is what the little tiny deals practice. If you use water when you wash your face, you turn half waters. left in the pail to the river, to the trees. This is really important. It's not a big deal, but it is a great practice. It is great help all sentient beings. Then individual life is really developing, and you can develop, you can deepen your life. But if you do something just for you, you cannot find, you cannot see yourself developing or deepening or sharing compassion with the people. You cannot do it. Whatever kind, not only religion, spiritual life, whatever kind of a job or occupation you follow, you have to anyway develop yourself first. You have to anyway share your life with all sentient beings. Then your professions, your personality is going to develop. Otherwise, if you become very egoistic and selfish, I think you can see the development in some sense, but it is very small development. It is not something used for big scale. So very naturally, most of people have a very egoistic, greedy, because they really just want to do something for themselves in order to succeed, in order to develop itself. But they know how to live with the peoples, because people there, they know how to help. They know that we should help others. But practically, they don't do it. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions constantly, you know, to do something, small things. No one pay attention to it. No one gives you praise. No one gives you, the praise, a word of praise to you, even though you do this. But you have to do for all sentient beings, looking at the human world for long run. So in the Age Monastery, there is a bridge named Returning Half Water Left in the Ladle, Hanshikyo. This is great teaching for us. So Daichi Zenji simply composed the poem "The Way of the Bath" in the Soto tradition. Doesn't permit us to use water carelessly. Be mindful of Ehe's teaching, returning half the water left in the ladle to the river. If even one drop of water is handled recklessly, then each time the waves of its virtue end and nothing remains. Waves of its virtue means if you drop, if just one drop of water falls into the ocean and lake, and its waves, the waterlings come up, arises, and extend to everywhere. So, but the beginning of your active doings is to drop just the one dew, one drop of water, that's it. But it extends everywhere. But if you use the water recklessly, you can't create this one, because water is, water means human life. Okay? human life, water, surface, the surface of lake, and surface of oceans, basically very peaceful, harmonious. This is called emptiness. This is basis of existence. Very calm, serene. And then we have to practice in the realm of serene expanse of ocean. You have to do something. Drop of water, wash your face, and have a meal. And then your doings is very simple things. One, little tiny human beings, human doings, but it's extend all over. But if you don't take care of, if not a drop of water, carefully, it means that you don't realize how serene the basis of your existence is. So you always doing somewhere. You don't pay attention to that basis of existence, which is perfectly serene, tranquil, and also dynamic. So you always do something in the very muddy and the wavy world. So a lot of storms, rains there. And in the storm and the rains, and there are lots of things you have to deal with. Pretty busy. And then even though you drop a water, it doesn't influence so much. Because already surface of ocean is very wavy. So that's why it says, then each time the waves of if even one drop of water is handled recklessly, then each time the waves of its virtue end, and nothing remains. Waves of its virtue is created. That is really creative art of human life in your everyday life. But we don't believe this one, how creative it is, because our human consciousness is very stubborn and greedy. Very greedy and stubborn. We don't see it, we don't believe it. Okay, one point I want to talk today is in the Sangama Sutra. It says when it was time for monks to wash, we filed in to bathe. Suddenly, we awakened to the basis of water. We didn't wash off dirt, and we didn't wash our bodies. And also, Kaizen Zenji says, a bathroom in the Solin, who is it to clarify the basis of water? Once going into the sea of fragrant water, it plunges you into cleansing. Like water doesn't wash off water, no dirt remains on the body. So who is it to clarify the basis of water? In other words, who is it to realize the basis of water? Who cleans your body? Who cleans your body? What do you cleanse? So, lots of questions there. But a basis, who realize basis of water? I mentioned yesterday, basis of water is original nature of existence, so called emptiness. Okay. So this original nature of existence, emptiness, applies to every beings. Okay. The body, the basis of body, the basis of dirt, the basis of water, the basis of tub, the basis of ladle, the basis of pail, everything basis of existence applies to everything. In other words, everything is emptiness. So, when you go in to the bath, you in emptiness wash away the body, your body in emptiness. No, the you in emptiness wash away the dirt in emptiness of your body in emptiness with the water in emptiness. What can you wash? All are emptiness. Your body is emptiness, dirt is emptiness, and the pails emptiness. And if so, is there some room for you to think what, who, how, when? If you make a question, when, who, how, this is already dualistic world. It's not emptiness already. Go astray. We lose our way to go straightly to the basis of existence, so called emptiness. So that is called dualistic conscious world already. So basically, we wash away the dirt in emptiness. All of our body in emptiness with the water in emptiness. So emptiness washes away the emptiness with emptiness. So nothing to do for us. It's not the anything else's business. So all you have to do is what? Who wash? Who cleans? Yesterday I mentioned this is a little bit difficult to understand, but anyway, this is instant. I think basis of water is the whole works of instant. And also this instant is not the idea of the time, because time is already linked very closely with space. So instant has its own boundless stretch, huge stretch toward the 10 directions. That is called space. So time is simultaneously linked very closely with space. So time is a moment, instant, but right now, right here, but it's extend simultaneously. There is a space. So if you see instant very carefully and participate in instant, you are exactly alive right now, right here, but simultaneously your body and mind extends, stretches to everywhere, to the universe. Basically, we do, we does. our life goes like this. Go like this. And then we have to realize that point, and then we do something. We have to do something there, not in the dualistic world. We have to stand up there constantly with clear realization, with clear awareness, constantly aware. With awareness, then we have to do it. So when you watch, basically, so your basic attitude toward bathing, okay? You have to stand up in the basis of existence, so-called emptiness. So nothing to get, nothing to get in, nothing get out. So nothing. So there is nothing, but you have to do something in the realm of nothing, emptiness. You cannot get in, you cannot get out. But you have to get in, you have to get out. How? Okay. This is always questionable. So basic attitude is always standing straightly in the realm of emptiness, where nothing to get in, nothing to get out. Because already we are there. So we are there, then we should do it. We should do something. Wash your body. Okay? So basically, we can say, who wash? Emptiness wash. What? Emptiness. This is basic. Buddha washes Buddha. Basically. Even though you don't understand, your life is emptiness washes emptiness. So what's left after washing? Emptiness. What's for? For emptiness. So emptiness, anyway, washes emptiness. Is there something to wash? Yes, it is emptiness. You can wash away emptiness? No. Nothing, because emptiness. This is a characteristic of basis of existence. So emptiness anyway becomes emptiness. When you wash away, when you use a bath, the emptiness washes your bodies. Means emptiness goes in to bathe. And emptiness settles in the tub. The emptiness starts to work. Emptiness becomes emptiness. Emptiness settles in emptiness. And then emptiness anyway creates its own art. Creative art of his life, its life. So-called washing. So emptiness. The Dogen Zen says, the pine tree transmit pine tree. Winter transmit winter. So what is a winter? Winter is winter. Winter becomes winter. Winter settles winters in itself. And winter is winter ing, okay? That is instant. You have to participate instant itself, okay? There is no questions if you participate the dynamic function of the instant. There is no argument, no discussions. You just be there. Because it's very quick. It's very dynamic. And also it's very quiet because it's moment, it's instant. Instant is very moment. So it's very quiet. Simultaneously it's dynamic because if you touch it, it's already gone.
So it's very equestrian, but it's dynamic. This is a characteristic of an instant. So you have to participate in this. When you participate in the instant, well, we don't know who practice. We don't know who prove what you are doing. We don't know, actually. Because the instant becomes instant, and the instant settles the instant in itself. And the instant is just the instant thing. That's it. This is your real state of existence when you see it very clearly. In other words, who zazen? Who do zazen? You do zazen, or Buddha do zazen? Who attain enlightenment? Who prove your enlightenment? That is really argument constantly, endlessly. But strictly speaking, practically speaking, even though you don't understand when you have to do zazen, just do it. So who do zazen? Zazen does zazen. In other words, when you die, who dies? I die. This is dualistic. When you right in the middle of death, who dies? I don't know. If I say I die, I'm really scared. But in the right in the middle of death, no scares, no fears, because death is going. And I am just right in the board of death. But if I see inside or outside, with my consciousness, fear comes up and screams arises. But death is exactly no fears, just a going. So who dies? I don't know who dies. So when you die, death is death. Death becomes death. Death settles itself in the death. And death is dying, that's it. That is a real state of being when you are right in the midst of death. That's it. That's all. But a conscious world, we don't believe it, because always we think, who dies? What's going on now and after and before? We always want to see. But strictly speaking, this is very pure. Nothing to do. So all you have to do is, please go ahead. This is the basis of water. This, when you see this one, then we temporarily say, in enlightenment. So there is nothing to get, nothing to be attained. Nothing to be attained, basically, okay? Nothing. So all you have to do is to stand up in the realm, in the sphere of nothingness, to attain, to go in, to go out, nothing. And then very clearly, if you stand up there, and then very clearly, there is a form. There is a form, there is a not form coming up. That is in the dualistic world. Okay. In other words, when you do zazen in the sphere of nothing, okay, sphere of basis of existence, exactly. At that time, there are two things you can see: zazen, and also no zazen. No zazen means real zazen. Okay? Zazen is form of zazen. Okay? And no form of zazen. Because form of zazen is, I think you can really see something more than your ideas. Okay? If you do real zazen, I think there is a something prior to put the name on it. How significant zazen is, but we don't know. We don't know. But subject, in terms of the subjectivity, there is a something, you know it, in many ways. But when the moment when you see it objectively, we don't know what it is. Because real zazen is really emptiness, so no form, no taste, no colors. Same applies to the compassion, wisdom, or mind. The Bodhidharma says, bring out your mind. I will pacify your mind. And then, disciple tried to find the bring up mind, but he couldn't find the mind. So he said, finally, mind is unattainable. I cannot get a mind. So mind is, we know mind, strictly speaking, in terms of subjectivity, we know mind. But if you see the mind objectively, mind becomes blur. So we don't know what the mind is. If you try to get it, you don't know what is mind. So what is a real mind? Real mind is always appears two forms, form and no form. And then real mind is completely beyond form or not form. So that is total function. Total function. This is a real mind. So called Buddha is mind. That is a Buddha's teaching. And this is called Buddha. We say Buddha. So Buddha is form of Buddha and not form of Buddha. Because you can see the Buddha. If you practice, if you do zazen, you can feel something, something. But it's pretty hard to pin down what it is because we want to see it objectively. In order to explain, in order to touch it. But at that time, Buddha, we don't know what the Buddha is. But even though we don't know Buddha is, we know the Buddha because Buddha is here. So two forms always come up. So what is a real Buddha? Real Buddha is completely beyond form or not form. This is a total picture. What is it? This is a dynamic motion. Practice. Exactly practice in actions. With clear mind. Very clear. You cannot participate in that real Buddhist world or so-called emptiness blindly. No. You must be very participate. You must participate in that realm of the existence with very clear mind, because that the emptiness, the sphere of the emptiness or the sphere of the Buddha is very slippery because of emptiness, because beyond the form or not form. So if you ignore, you slip off. If you attach to it, you slip off from a real Buddha. Real Buddha is always functioning without leaving any trace, so-called form or not form. So always you have to function. You have to really, you have to be always alive. Very slippery, and also it's very open. Really open. Willingness to accept all sentient beings. Okay? This is the instinct. philosophical, we say time and space. Yogen then says being time. But this is not the philosophical point. This is a reality, true reality we live in. So the true reality we live in is very slippery, eternally slippery, no end. So you have to practice always, and also eternally open. So everyone becomes Buddha. Everyone, without exception. So very slippery, from day to day, from moment to moment, it's very slippery. In other words, the Eugene religion says you should have a feeling of crisis. The term is different, but I use slippery. Very simple. Now, crisis is a little bit, the different term, but I use slippery. Very slippery. So you have to, just like walking on a tightrope, but that is creating too much tension. But slippery means at the pivot of nothingness is exactly slippery, but it's not creating tensions. Because beyond you create the tension or not, you have to do something first. Anyway, you have to do it. So real Buddha is obviously you have to see the two forms, the form of Buddha, not form of Buddha. You have to see all this, but you have to be free from form of Buddha or not form of Buddha. That is your practice. Okay. If I do Zazen and Zazen, I see the Buddha. I see the not Buddha. I see the Karagiri, form of Karagiri. I see the not form of Karagiri, because Zazen is Zazen. So whatever I see, when I do Zazen, I always see the two forms. Form or not form. And then real practice is to constantly be free from both. That is real practice. In motion, in actions, every day. In Zazen, in Gassho, walking. So at that time, that is called Buddha. But if you say it is Buddha, we say already we attach to the Buddha. So you have to be anywhere free from Buddha. That's why in the stories, Tenzo see the image of Avalokiteshvara in the steam of the pan where the rice is cooking. Okay? They immediately, cut off the image of Avalokiteshvara screaming, "Get out!" If you do something, you can see anyway Buddha. At that time, we attach to it. But if you attach to it, it is not real Buddha. So real Buddha is constantly to be free from form or not form. And then a monk asked, "When the Buddha wiped off the dust and dirt of the Buddha, what is that Buddha?" The teacher says, that Buddha is delusion. Do you understand? So constantly we create deluded thought. So I am free from Buddha now. Then what is this one? We say so. In other words, we constantly ask, "What's that? For what?" We are always asking. Do you understand? I do that then, and then I came enlightenment. And then this is enlightenment one. But the real enlightenment one is being free from enlightenment one at that time. What is enlightenment one? Who is free from enlightenment one? That is, we believe, that is real enlightenment one. But it's already deluded. So what is real enlightenment one? Just practice. That is called continuous practice. Emotion and also in step. Very step, very quiet. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions practice in the monastery must be carried on quietly, serenely. Very serenely, quietly. Not show off. Nothing to show off. There is an interesting story. The person's name is Genza, who was one of the Sin School, Pure Land School's followers. One day Genza, but there was present in the ceremony, in the lecture. Given by the abbot of that temple, and then he listened his lecture. And the right after lecture, the abbot asked the audience, is there anyone who is going to hell? So no one. If there is anyone, please raise a hand. No one raised a hand because they already have listened to the Buddha's teaching. So they are really enjoying very much their life, with their life. So no one believe I am going to hell. So only one person raised their hand and said yes. That person was Genza. Okay. The next I would ask, is there anyone who is going to the paradise? So no one say yes, because if they look at themselves, they think that everybody has a very egoistic life. So no one felt confidence, you know, of going to the paradise. That's why no one said any yes. But only one person said yes, that is Genza. So everyone felt he was crazy because he answered two things. Then the abbot says, why did you raise the hand? Why did you feel going to the hell and also going to the paradise? He says, I am going to the hell. This is my business. And Amitabha Buddha's business is to take us to the Buddha, to paradise. So that is his business. It's not my business. Do you understand that one? So when you do that, then there are two things, Buddha's business and your business. Okay? But don't interfere Buddha's business. But we want to always poke our head into the Buddha's business, don't you think, huh? And we want to conquer all over. Then we say, I am great. but I don't think this is really egoistic. So your business is all you have to do is with your intention, with your will, with your good intention, with your good careful consideration, all you have to do is just to do that thing what you have to do. That is a samadhi. And then whether you are saved or not, it's not your business. Because if you really try to poke your head into that business, I think it means that you try to see Buddhist world objectively. So Buddhist world is become blurred. We don't know what it is. But subjectively, when you participate in something, anyway, it is natural that you can get something. So that's why you can't ignore it. Buddha's here. You are here. Zazen is here. Exactly. And Zazen and you, one, become one. Simultaneously, where? Right now. It's simple. But when you think, what is a Zazen? Who are you? And what is a place? These cushions, black cushions, all those questions. So everything becomes blur when you see them objectively. Even the cushions. If you look at the cushion objectively, you don't know what the cushion is. Even though you understand the cushions more scientifically, you can explain the scientifically what the cushion is, but actually you don't know. Finally, you are very confused what the cushion is. Why? We have to use a black or brown. That is discrimination. Lots of questions coming up. Finally, lots of questions leave you in complete confusion. So no answer. But questions is questions. Exactly. When you sit down, it's exactly questions as it is. So everything like this. So Buddha's business and your business not separated. Buddha's business, your business, exactly one. And two fields, just like a car. Two fields run, rolling. And one thing is moving. But we always try to separate and interfere. So that's why Genza says, my business is just to go to hell. The Buddha's business is to take us to the Buddha in paradise. It is really true. So that's why basically we have to be in the sphere of the paradise, so-called basis of water, emptiness. So you have to, you in emptiness, wash your dirt in emptiness of your body in emptiness with the water in emptiness. That's basic practice. And then, that is the Buddha's business. Okay? Then your business is just wash. That is called samadhi. Just wash. At that time, your body becomes pure. This is the meaning of purity. Okay? So, the Sao Kiyoshi, famous Zen master in Japan, says very simply like this. Zazen is that the self becomes self and settles the self in the self, and that self becomes self-feed. This is Zazen, he says. Very simple explanation of Zazen, what Zazen is. But I didn't understand that one. But this is real Zazen. Your life, your death, is exactly like this. But we are pretty busy with taking care of too much. too much.
But I don't mean you shouldn't take care of anything. But I don't think it's necessary to deal with many things. As simple as we can. If you can, we should do it. If you can't, of course you should do it. But still, there is a way to deal with your life simply.
Okay, do you have a question?
Interesting. You leave the zazen to zazen, leave it to Buddha. How is that different than the vending machine you mentioned yesterday, where you make an effort to put in the coin and then just accept something? And
I think you should participate in the whole situation of vending machine. Not separate. We are always participating on the bending machine from on the top and bottom.
So you should see the process.
Yes, we should know the whole process anyway. That it's a process, really a lot, the living process of time. Okay? Black box means really a living process of instant. Okay? That's what I mean. A instant, B instant, do you remember yesterday mentions? We are always stacking A instance as a result of time, B instance as a result of time. That is always. For instance, if you do that, then before that, then you know, okay? Before that, then and also after that, then that's all you can know. But we don't know exactly. We don't know exactly real reality. True reality, what zazen is, zazen in. Do you? But actually you are right there when you do zazen. But we always participate in only before zazen, after zazen. Do you understand that one?
So we should pay attention during zazen?
Not during zazen, zazen itself. I mean the process, living process of zazen. Not dueling, okay. Process, living process. Zazen is zazen in. Okay? Do you understand? When you participate in a sport is sporting. You play sports. If you make a word, I play sports. At that time, you and sports separate. But actually, you and sports must be one. So what is the oneness? You and sports become one. What is it? Can't you explain? No. Because in the oneness, what you and sports become one is complete something. Beyond form of you, form of anywhere. Sports. Or not form of you, or not form of sports. So completely beyond any idea. This is a state of oneness, you do. This is actual, true, actual. And then we say, I play sports. This is a word. So word sentence comes after. So that is, if you want to play sports, you have to participate in the oneness first. And then the words coming up after. This is a process of our thinking word. That's why when you do that, then I think that we always participate in before and after. And researching before and after, always, we are attached to. But we completely forget that sport zazen is zazen. We don't pay attention to it. Actually, we don't know what it is. but we are there, so we have to be with clear mind, because if you don't do with clear mind, we are very easily slip off by dualistic sense. So very naturally, we are completely far from it. So that's why we, with clear mind, constantly we have to participate this way. Someone asked me why we have to talk about black box, why we have to think about the instant. No reason. Why we have to talk about that complicated philosophy. But actually simple. Actually simple. If you want to play sports, just sports. In samadhi. That's it. But still, it's very difficult to carry all this forever in that way. That's why we need some explanation why you have to practice like this. Because then we say, if you do a certain period of time, there is a certain guarantees, you know. And then, that always we give a candy. And then we become a dog, you know, wagging the tail, and then just following the coach. But actually, no guarantees. Even though you practice in the same way with everyone, everyone does same things, but there is no guarantee who becomes a great sportsman. No. But even though you don't any guarantee, all you can do is just to play sports. Becoming one first, participate in the oneness. Okay? That is instant, full function of instant itself. Okay? Not dueling. Example is kind of a vending machine, is a kind of a dueling, okay? Between. But actually, it's one. If you participate in that full function of instant, simultaneously cause and effect. A instant, B instant comes together in that realm of oneness. Okay. It's okay.
Yes, I understand that part. It means doing zazen, not being.
Yes.
Okay. How does a person develop clear mind?
That is a seeds of development. The seeds of development. That is great seeds. That is main spring of energy to develop your life. If you do that, this is seed. And also, that naturally grows. If you see there, naturally it grows. So that's why Genda says that the Buddha species. If you practice, seeds grow naturally. So all we can do is, anyway, put the seed every day. Put the seed of the Buddha. Buddha's seed, always, on the ground, right now, right here. Okay? That is, putting that to plant the seed. Buddha's seed is called to accumulate Buddha's virtue, we say. Buddha's virtue. Which is not showy, which is quiet, very serene, but it's dynamic because you are supported, you are developed, and you are enhanced. Your life is enhanced. Yeah, okay.
How do you put the seed in the ground?
That's why when you do zazen, you must be free to enjoy. To enjoy for you to do zazen. Okay? Exactly. That is a seed of Buddha. It must be free anyway. Okay? But if you think it, obviously there is a utilitarianism coming up. Idea of utilitarianism arises. What's for? But that is after. That is coming after you participate in Zazen when you do in Samadhi. Okay? Like a sport. Is that alright?
Well, when we slip off by the dualistic senses, isn't that also emptiness in the same way that the water and dirt are emptiness?
Mm-hmm. It's very slippery. But water is slippery. Basically, water is very slippery and also open. So Buddha. That is a real total picture of Buddha. Water is Buddha. Okay? That's your question?
Well, what about the dualistic sense and when we slip off to our dualistic...
Dualistic sense is always to think something, to see or to hear something with thinking.
Yeah.
Discriminating thinking is a desire.
Mm-hmm.
So discriminated thinking naturally to satisfy your desire.
Yeah.
In many ways.
But isn't that also emptiness?
Well, it's also emptiness.
Yes.
That's why it's not bad. That's why we have to understand them clearly as best as we can. This is Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma will always to analyze and synthesize in mind clearly in the approach. Very detailed, mm-hmm. You know, not too much. That is bodhisattva practice. That is Abhidhamma. That's why it's still idealistical. So you cannot be free. So you have to go beyond this. You know. That's why naturally Buddhism developed. You know, the Majjhimaka, Prajnaparamita Sutra coming up, and that is based on Majjhimaka, central philosophy of emptiness by Nagarjuna. And then still it doesn't satisfy the human being's consciousness, big head, you know. So still they are thinking, and what should we do? We should ignore the human world, the dualistic world. You know, seeing the human world in terms of just emptiness. It's possible or not. So that's why next, Buddhism philosophy came up, so-called merely consciousness. Merely consciousness. Yogacara. So that is you know, Abhidharma and emptiness philosophy, and also Vijñanabhāra, we call it in Sanskrit Vijñanabhāra. That is psychological analysis, looking at the human world, human beings psychologically. But it is a little different from Abhidharma, because it's that psychological understanding is the result as polishing the teaching of Abhidharma and based on the emptiness. So a little different. So that is Abhidharma teaching and Nagarjuna's emptiness teaching and also Vijñanabhāra teaching. That is kind of dialectic, according to the dialectic philosophy. What would you say? Say and go, thesis?
Thesis, antithesis.
Yes, that's right. You know, Abhidharma is a thesis. You know, Nagarjuna's completely analyzing and present a different world from Abhidharma questions, so emptiness. That is strong criticism toward the dualistic world. And then, finally, the Vijñanabhara is a teaching of Vijñanabhara is a psychological teaching as a whole, based on emptiness and also Abhidharma. So kind of like that. Yes. So the what to say?
Synthesis.
So Buddhist history, the teaching development of Buddhist teaching, is very interesting, for us, because we can see that how human beings try to understand original nature of human existence, in many ways. In a certain period of time, one teaching is presented, but they don't satisfy. And then another teaching coming up, based on the go beyond that one. Okay, and then they don't satisfy yet. Then another one. So very much naturally, lots of teaching coming up, but naturally it's developing. Okay. So from this point, the dualistic world is also interesting.
Even within imperfect teachings, or even within Abhidharma, there were individuals who practiced completely, though, right? And even I was thinking of a teacher or a master, even within a insufficient teaching, still it's possible for people to reach the Buddha realm. I just wonder why there wasn't more comments. You understand what I'm trying to say?
What's no, I don't.
Well, during the period of Abhidharma, okay, now looking back, we can see that Abhidharma was a little bit one-sided, maybe, okay. But even during this period, there were practitioners who were, what, successful? What's the word? I don't know. Even within. Or if you practice Majjhanika, under Majjhanika, which is maybe antithesis, maybe a little bit extreme, still Nagarjuna and others were on the mark. And then there's a synthesis, and I guess I wonder why I wonder how that works, or if an individual penetrates, why they don't comment about Abhidharma or about Majjhanika or about. If those are not quite sufficient, if it's a little bit out of balance, a little bit, but somebody.
Out balance, but the as a teaching it is it's okay, no problem. As a teaching, for instance, through the Abhidharma we understand what the structure of the human world, what the structure of the human consciousness, we understand it. But still, there is a questions. For instance, we understand pretty well, everything is emptiness. Even the dualistic world is emptiness. Discriminating thinking is emptiness. We can understand this. We can approach to that place. Okay. But still, question is, we don't know how to practice it. Yeah. We don't know how to practice emptiness in the dualistic thinking. We don't know. Still questions. Because that emptiness is very slippery and also open. Welcome to everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. But everyone is not welcome, because if you don't have the way you think your mind, you slip off. You become outside. So everyone is welcome to that level of existence, but it's very slippery. That's why it's selected, you know, shifted. It's always big shift, shift is moving. Everyone welcome into that, but it's always moving. So how many people is left, you know, on that word? I don't know. Do you understand that one? Many people want to practice Zazen, Buddhism, and you know, study Buddhism. I don't know how many people will be left. But I try to, you know, scoop everyone. But I don't know.
So is it?
So that's why other teaching it is no problem.
Teaching means a practical application.
A practical application presented by the teaching. Abhidhamma Kosha also presented what is the practice aspect of Buddha's teaching in terms of Abhidhamma Kosha's eye. Okay? But still, we don't know, because it is kind of a practice seen in terms of kind of biology or physics. We don't know how to practice as a whole. Is that clear? You can know the practice in terms of physics and the biologies. You know, biology talking about how to practice, how to take care of human world. So we know how to do it, in a sense. Is that okay? But we don't know how to practice as a whole, you know, including philosophy, psychology, physics, and biology, and also reality of human beings who are alive from moment to moment. Okay? For instance, we don't know how to take care of water. In terms of chemistry, we know how to take care of, you know. But as a whole, we don't know how to practice the water. Because you have to understand water in terms of chemistry, but we have to understand water also in terms of true reality, which everyone quenches thirst by dirty water under certain circumstances. So this real reality, true reality, we don't know. So it's pretty vast.
So still no, as yet there's no complete, perfect teaching.
Yeah. The teaching, if you discuss a teaching, always there is a deep teaching and shallow teaching always. You know? So Dogen Zenji mentions the Buddha way is not to discuss how deep that teaching is, how shallow this teaching is, not comparison. But he says how intention you have, how much intention you have. It depends on individual intention, means a practice. So that's why in the history of teaching, there are lots of teaching coming up, philosophy coming up. Is that okay? But teaching itself is no problem. But if you study the psychology, I think the people, they misunderstand Buddhism because they believe immediately they understand Buddhism completely. It's very narrow.